Friends, we gather here today on the day that changes everything. Death is dead. Love wins. Christ conquers. Hope can be found. But the story of the first Easter begins in a day of sadness, in weeping, in mourning, in confusion. Perhaps the early morning of that first Easter day might be how some of us feel this morning, lonely, confused, anxious, weeping. But we begin our journey travelling with Mary to a tomb. But amidst her grief, amidst her sadness, hope breaks in. On that first Easter day, as it has done throughout the generations, sorrow is turned to joy, death to life. For Jesus is alive, and his hope carries on amidst these strange circumstances. Love still wins, hope still comes, truth still stands. The great news of the gospel still brings life and joy to us, even amidst sad and difficult times. As I said at the start of the service, let's not spend this whole morning lamenting on the Easter we wish we were having. But instead, let's jump into the gospel story and see why the good news is still good news, even in the midst, perhaps even more so in the midst of the times we find ourselves in. Jesus comes to bring good news in the midst of sickness, sorrow, and mourning. And he brings hope into the world that felt hopeless then, and for many of us might feel a bit more hopeless than what we would like to say out loud. The good news is still good news. Jesus rises from the dead. Our gospel reading opens with Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. It's still dark. It's early in the morning. It's physically dark, but her world also feels dark. Mary and the disciples are terrified. Confusion is everywhere. The Jesus they've given up everything to follow is dead. Can we imagine the depths of their sorrow, the levels of despair? The disciples are hiding at home, wondering what the future might hold. And here comes Mary to the tomb. But as she draws near, she sees the stone has been rolled away. So she leaves everything, she rushes, she runs to where she knows Peter and John are to tell them that someone has taken Jesus' body from the tomb. His body must be missing. Peter and John rush from where they are and run towards the tomb. We are told by John in his gospel that he beats Peter to the tomb. Even in these moments, note the details John wants us to remember throughout all of history. He was a faster runner than Peter. What classic teenage boy behaviour. Anyway, John gets to the tomb first, but he waits outside. Peter, classic Peter, rushes past John right on into the tomb. And what do they find? Folded grave clothes lying where Jesus' body should have been. We're told they hadn't yet grasped the significance of what Jesus had told them. But in one of the strangest verses, for me, I think, in the whole of Scripture, we're told that Peter and John return to their homes. In the midst of the confusion, Mary's grief, the folded grave clothes, and yet Peter and John go home. Why don't they stay? Are they not worried about where the body is? Why don't they take Mary with them? Perhaps the sorrow was too much to bear. Maybe the fear got to them. We don't know. But they go home and they miss out on what is to happen. They leave and Mary is left weeping outside the tomb. And as she cries, she stoops, she bends down into the tomb where she sees two angels. The angels ask her, "Why are you weeping?" Perhaps another indication that that's not the correct response to what is happening. She simply replies, "They've taken my Lord's body and I don't know where he has been laid." sorrow, Mary turns from the tomb and sees who she thinks is the gardener. For in her sorrow, she does not recognize Jesus, the one whom she knew well. The suspected gardener again asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary repeats her answer, which she gave the angels, "They've taken my Lord." And through her weeping comes a reply that may speak to many of us this morning. For Jesus reveals himself in the simplest of words, Mary. He knows her name. And in her name being spoken, Mary realizes who she's talking to, Rabboni, which means teacher, she says. Mary longs to hug Jesus, and yet Jesus pulls back. He has an assignment for her, a message to share. Mary, go and tell the others you have seen the Lord. Mary, there's work to be done. Mary, the woman with the dodgy past. Mary, the one forgotten about by the grave, by Peter and John, who left without her, becomes the first evangelist to the good news of the resurrection. She gets to share the news first that changes everything. Jesus is alive. I've seen him. And these moments of the resurrection of Jesus, our pasts, our reputations, our gender, do not matter to the King of Kings, who still invites all of us to go and share the good news that changes everything. He is alive. I have seen the Lord. We all have a purpose and a mission God invites us to join in with. It's the best story. The only story that changes everything. We can all read a good book and love it, but it doesn't change the course of human history. It doesn't change the direction of our lives. Now, in these most familiar, glorious of words, what might God want to draw our attention to afresh this morning? In these particularly strange times, what is the good news, resurrection hope of the gospel for all of us? Well, firstly, that even in the tomb and in the chaos and confusion of Mary, Peter and John, there was still order. Why do I say that? Because in a detail I love, but that is so often overlooked in our retelling of the story, look with me at verses 6 and 7. Where the body should have been now lies folded grave clothes. The site of the resurrection wasn't chaotic. The clothes have been folded. Something purposeful has happened. Amidst the running and confusion of the disciples and Mary, the linen is folded. God is in control. He's got the small detail covered. The plan is working itself out. Amidst the storms and chaos and confusion of life, God has the small details covered. The clothes weren't left messy. God tidied up the grave clothes before moving out of the grave. We worship a God who does the detail alongside the miraculous. What details do you need to trust him with today? In a world that is chaotic, where do we need to look again for the detailed touches of our heavenly King? Secondly, in the Easter story, there's purpose in the waiting. We are in strange times, shut away from one another. Some of us have a lot of time on our hands. So how are you waiting in these times of isolation? Are you fed up, or are you using the time to wait and feed on the one who is the bread of life? Peter and John stand in the tomb, and in their confusion, maybe in their fear, their sorrow, they give up and go home. They fail to wait amongst the confusion and uncertainty and miss out on what is about to happen. They rush away from the sight of sorrow and miss out on the encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. Now, life is tough for many of us at this moment. We're finding this season really challenging. Anxiety and fear are everywhere. Some of us are struggling with ill health. Others of us are worried about loved ones. And for those of us on the front lines, questions abound. Where might God be amongst the mess, this virus, this dark situation that hangs over the entire world? When everything seems to go wrong and hope can be hard to come by, it's important not just to push through, not just to look for quick fixes or say these easy, cliché phrases Christians are so quick to recite. Now, I know and you know that God is good. He's good all the time. But sometimes life is tough. Life for many of us feels more like Good Friday or Holy Saturday, where darkness seems to reign, perhaps today more than ever. Friends, we've got to get comfortable in the waiting rather than rushing through like Peter and John. Yes, we're people of the resurrection, but we live in a world where the pain and confusion of Good Friday and Holy Saturday are still part of what goes on. As Christians, we perhaps need to be better at sitting in the reality many in the world find themselves in. How might we sit in the ruins at the sight of sorrow like Mary? Because when we do so, when we get comfortable in the waiting, it's through sadness that new life and new purpose comes. In the darkness, new life can be born. By the empty tomb, Mary encounters the risen Christ. She finds new life amidst her sadness, hope in the face of sorrow. Her weeping is turned to tears of joy. Amongst these times of isolation, where is God? Well, he's sitting there with us, speaking to us, feeding us, speaking hope amidst a world of sorrow. Are you looking for him, or are you rushing away to find contentment and answers somewhere else? Mary stays behind and weeps and finds in the risen Lord Jesus more than she can ever imagine. For where was Jesus? He was with her, weeping. As she wept in the garden, he saw her, he knew her, he was with her. Interestingly, Mary in her grief doesn't recognize him. Now, maybe the resurrected Jesus looks a bit different. But I think her grief, her tears, her sorrow had blinded her to the reality of Jesus' presence with her. Mary, in the midst of her sorrow, is called by name. Mary, in the midst of her confusion, is called by name. Mary, in the midst of the mess and devastation of the past 3 days, is called by name. God sees her. He knows her. He's come searching for her, searching for the broken and the left behind. He finds her, he knows her, he stoops near to draw her in. In the midst of chaos, our despair, our tragedies, our heartache, our confusion, our sense of hopelessness, Jesus draws near. He gets alongside, he finds the lost and the left behind and whispers to each of us in what might be the darkest of days, I see you, I know you, I'm with you. In your isolation, in your confusion, in your fear and anxiety, Jesus says, I see you. I'm here. I'm with you. I know you. I've got you. Let's face this together. We don't worship a distant God. We worship a God who's acquainted with sorrow and weeping. And he chose to draw close. He knows how you feel today. And he holds you in his hands. But the story doesn't end there, for Mary is not to stay weeping in the garden. The story continues, the narrative goes on. We are not meant to stay weeping in our gardens or our homes or wherever it is we find ourselves this morning, for joy and hope comes. Yes, for now we stay indoors, but the story is not chained. Our hope is not to be contained. Today is a day for joy, even amidst our separation, even amongst the sadness of the world. Mary is sent out of the garden by Jesus to go and share the news with others. This morning, we too are sent to be bearers of the good news. In these times of isolation and staying indoors, though, we just have to be a bit more creative in how we share our Easter joy. See, we read from Acts this morning, Megan read it for us, where Peter was speaking to a crowd in Caesarea. Peter is telling the story of what he saw Jesus do, what he witnessed as a disciple. Peter said, Jesus commanded his disciples to share of his death and resurrection and its significance. Today, the command from Jesus is still passed down to all of us. like Mary, like Peter and John, who will you share the story of Easter with today? Who will you tell of the difference Jesus has made to you? Who will you witness to? Now today we can't go out and chat on the streets, but who can you phone? Who can you share this good news with? Maybe on social media, what can you post today about your hope despite the situations we find ourselves in? Maybe you'll share a video of your favourite Easter hymn and why on your story. Maybe you'll share about how the good news of Jesus has changed everything for you. Because if it changes everything for you, it also changes everything for the world outside our windows. Into our world of confusion and anxiety and fear, we have good news. God wins. Into the darkness, we hold a light. Why keep it to yourself? We all have a part to play. Now, a number of you might already be coming up with reasons why you're not the right people to share. Maybe you've not always got it right. Maybe there's others that could do it better. But we are all called to be people that share the good news. See, Peter and Mary hadn't always got it right either. Peter often jumped in too quickly, made promises to Jesus he couldn't keep. He denied Jesus and he gave up too quickly at the sight of the tomb. But here he was in the book of Acts, leading God's church, speaking out about the difference Jesus had made. God still used him and had a purpose for him. Now Mary, she had a shaky past. She had a bad reputation, but she's the one that God picked to get to share the good news first. The story of Easter, the good news of Christianity, is death to life, hopeless to hope filled, sorrow to joy, broken to whole. How can you be part of the story today? Are you brave enough to step into God's plan for you? Because it's never too late to say yes to Jesus and to say yes to sharing about the difference he's made. Now, with her permission, I want to share a story of my friend Jean. We spoke yesterday on the phone. Now, Jean is the first person I had the privilege to baptise last year. Jean and I, for a few months, had been having conversations on Tuesdays at the Senior Citizen Lunch Club my Curacy Church Ascension held. And we often spoke about Jean's past, and she told me to tell you that she was a diamond in a lot of rough. And Jean would often say to me, could God really be interested in her? Could God really love her despite what had happened in her past? And I remember one day almost saying in passing, you know, Jean, it's never too late to say yes to Jesus. And a few months later, in September last year, I had the amazing privilege to baptise Jean. Jean, in her 80s, said yes to God. And now Jean does her best to try and share the good news of Jesus with others. It's a shaky past, full of would-haves, could-haves, should-haves. But a decision to say yes to Jesus and share it. Joy comes. Hopelessness is turned to stories of hope. Brokenness to healing in Jesus' name. It's never too late. You're never too far gone. You're never too broken or too dirty or too bad or too unlovable to be all in for Jesus. He died for you so that you could know fullness of life in him. And so today, is this the day you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time? It's not too late. You're not too far gone. Jesus went to the cross and died for you to know his love, his forgiveness, eternal life with him. In the midst of chaos and confusion, of coronavirus and separation, today can still be the day we say yes to Jesus. Now, it's the day that some of us who've already said yes can choose to say yes to be witnesses to the difference Jesus makes. It's a day we can say yes to stepping out in faith to share the good news with others more. Are you all in today for a God who went all in for you? Now today, I can't do an altar call. I can't invite you to stand or to pray in a collective group together. If today you want to make today the day you say yes to Jesus for the first time, or if you want to say yes to going deeper in your walk with Jesus. But you know in your own hearts if today is the day for you to make that promise. I can't baptize anyone over a live stream, but we can commit to going on a journey together to walk deeper with Jesus. Let's start a journey together today where we go on to make the best decision we can ever make. The choice to choose love over fear, to join the winning team, to know purpose and meaning and joy and hope, no matter the storms we find ourselves in. Are you all in for Jesus today? Do you want to explore him more? You might have been coming to church for years. You might have grown up in church. Why not make the day, today, the day you say your own yes to Jesus? Now, it might have been a shaky year faith-wise. Maybe today's the time to say, Jesus, I want to be all in for you again. Do you want to say yes to him? Now, Easter is good news. It's the best news. God wins over disease and sin and death. He speaks words of hope into hopeless situations. He speaks joy into our sorrow. Despite the storms of life, we know it will all be okay. Because God is on the throne. He is mighty to save. He is with us in our sorrows. He defeated the grave. He was there with Mary in her times of sorrow, of waiting, of confusion. And he's there today with you, wherever it is you watch or listen along to this service. However bad life feels, God is with us. We have good news to proclaim. Jesus rises from the dead. And so today, let's be all in for Jesus, because he went all in for me and you, and he's still with us today. Should we pray? Lord God, we thank you for the news of Easter. It changes everything. Lord God, would you fill us with your joy afresh today? Where we feel hopeless, would you make us hope-filled? Where we feel sorrow, would you give us your joy? Where we're worried, would you give us your comfort and your peace? Lord, thank you for the reminder in Scripture that you are with us in times of sorrow and of waiting. Lord, thank you that you call each of us to be part of your story. You have a purpose and an assignment for all of us. Lord God, would you help us to share the good news with those around us? Would you help us be agents of your light and your hope, your truth and your joy, even in these strangest of times? Thank you that you are with us in the storms we find ourselves in. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Fill us afresh with your joy, we pray, Lord Jesus. And for those of us who want to say yes this morning, would you give us the boldness and the confidence to do so? For those of us who want to say a bigger yes, a yes to joining in and stepping out in boldness and confidence as we share the faith, Lord, would you embolden us, we pray. Put on our hearts the people we can be sharing the good news of the cross with today. Lord God, would you use us in your mission, your saving mission of this world. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for being with us. Keep speaking and challenging us this morning, we pray. Amen.